If you're turning your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to continue on our study here. We've been looking at some things that are very appropriate for this time and this hour. And so we're going to continue on talking about the last days. You know, we want to talk about what's going on in our times. And so, we see lots of news going on. People are, you got to take the news with a grain of salt. I mean, listen very carefully and listen to your spirit, right? You have to listen to your spirit. But take the news as it is. Things do happen. And sometimes, lots of times news will be, slanted to whatever they represent. And so just take it as you go along. And don't get too riled up. That's where we're trying to make everybody give them the word so that they can make some decisions. So people the news reports that are going out convey a certain kind of truth, maybe from the perspective of the world. I don't know how, I'm not a news reporter. I guess they have ethics and reporting and how to report. I know every profession has a certain kind of ethical principles they follow, and you got to follow within those guidelines. So they're reporting different things across Canada and across the nation and across the world, and we see all kinds of turmoil going on and with the Ukraine with all the the possibility of having war in that area of the world. And of course, always there's always something going on in Israel, and across the Canada with all that with the convoy and the different perspectives on it and political perspectives and all kinds of stuff going on, and notwithstanding the church and what's going on in the church. And so there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not going to touch on those. I'm not an expert in political parties. I did take politics in school. A number of years ago, and some ethics in class, but it helped today to help me a little bit. So we need to recognize the truth and values and beliefs that sometimes are maybe preached and reported on certain levels, and what the world believes and what we believe as a church and what we should believe. So I want to share some light on in Scripture and the truth about the days that we're living in, so that you can make your own decision according to Scripture. So, we can't be running around and trying to find this, trying to find that answer. You have the Holy Spirit. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you know how to make decisions. You have the Word and the Spirit, and you need to make decisions based on those two things, rather than what somebody said. You know, if you read on what somebody said, you're going to get riled up, right? And so so we need to watch that. So I know plenty of us can get riled up pretty good. Just watch the Olympics. If your favorite team loses or wins, I mean, there's all these things going on. But there's a whole pile of stuff that's going on across the world. And so much things going on. I just want to show Scripture that tells us the time we're in. And show us what the Word of God says. So we can't be running around and trying to find truth in something other than what Scripture is telling us. And that's what we have to... Our measuring stick is Scripture. And stay with Scripture and the Spirit of God. And, the Spirit of the Lord. And so he'll let us know. So overall, the conditions of the church across the world, there's certain kinds of... things that's going on across the church, across the world. And we find out how the world is by looking at, the Scripture tells us to watch how Israel is, what's happening to Israel, and what that nation is, what they're going through. And we understand the times by looking at what's going through Israel. And the Scripture teaches us that, the prophets teach it. Somebody's calling me. What should I do? Should I answer? Okay, I'll call him back. He's actually my mechanic. Actually, calling me. I gotta go right now. So I'll phone him back later. So there's news coming, and so we say, what's missing? Well, the truth is missing. Somebody said, what's the right thing? There's your view, my view, and the right view, or God's view. So we all have another view. And we might be, truthful and right in some ways, but we might get partial. And so we stuck with the partial truth that we understand, and we fight dogmatically for it. And so we bang heads together and fight, and that's exactly what the devil wants, is us to fight against each other and weaken the church. So in the church today, across the world, John the Apostle wrote letters to the various churches. If you read in the... He's very relentless. Hello. Hey, I'm teaching right now, buddy. I'm right in the middle of a television program. I'll call you back. I need to lock this. Sorry. Anyway, Mr. Editor, you know what to do. So there's the church conditions. Sorry about that, people out there. The church conditions is in the world. We have, by the Spirit of God, John wrote letters to the churches to give them instructions about, the exact moment what was going on. So he wrote a letter there to those churches that existed in that particular day, which reflect the conditions of our churches today, or the church life today. So to the church at Ephesus, apparently they were not walking in love, and they were just really walking in the flesh and just doing things out of their anger and all of their lust and different things. So there was no love in there. Apparently, as far as God was concerned, they weren't showing the love that they could have did. Also, there's the Church of Smyrna, and you read these in the Book of Revelation. Smyrna, the Bible says they were a persecuted church, and they were suffering a lot. And of course, the Bible wouldn't tell us to love one another if we, had the capacity or didn't have the capacity to love each other, because you could fall out of love and not love one another. Love is not a feeling. It's the result of a feeling. Of course, it can be part of it. But love is a principle, right, that we need to follow, and that is to take care of one another and be cool and kind to people. So Smyrna was being persecuted. Pergamos was compromising. As a church, Thyatira was a corrupt church. There was corruption going on. Sardis was a dead church. It's almost hard to say a dead church. Can a church be dead? I guess people are alive in it, but dead in terms of, not living up to what God wants. Philadelphia, which was a faithful church, and then Laodiceans, what you call it? Okay, all right. Lukewarm. Is there any lukewarm people? So lukewarm, what is it? Indifferent. They were indifferent about what's going on, or in the church life. Cold. So some churches don't preach on anything except whatever they want, I guess. We need to preach on the whole thing and talk about all the subjects if we need to. So we just can't tickle people's ears. We need to preach the truth. Sometimes truth hurts, but it sets us free. And so I know when people tell me things, I don't always take it right at first, but after a while I realize, hey, I need to smarten up, I need to do something with my life. So I try to make that, give people a benefit and be able to listen to people. So we need to preach the Word of God. We don't always have to know what the Greek says. Just read your Bible and find out what the Scriptures are saying. So, we can have programs in the church. We can have this program, that program. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit involved in it, it's no good. We need the Spirit of God in those anointing on those programs. Jesus spoke about the Spirit of truth. And he's called the Holy Spirit. He comes and helps all of us. He strengthens us. And I don't know, but you know, personally, I've seen people that have been shaken in life that I thought would never be shaken, and it's tough right now. Life is we're going through a real struggle together. We need to know the signs of the times so that we can be comforted with what's happening. So if we ask ourselves, what's happening? And so there's been moves of the Spirit over the years, and we can catalog and we can look at the different moves. Say, for instance, Azusa Street, when the power of God hit, there was great things happening. But also there was great persecution as well as that. So we see that happening. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start with 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. This is our text of Scripture. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, this is happening in the last days. That notice it says in the latter times or last days, some shall depart from the faith. And I don't know, maybe you know people who's decided they're not going to follow the Lord anymore and give up on their walk with God. And giving heed to seducing spirits. So this is right now. Giving heed to seducing spirits, there are spirits that will seduce people. And it says doctrines of devils. Teachings that are not scriptural, demonically influenced, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron is a term that's used that, you know, when our conscience is seared, if you sin so much that you start, it doesn't hurt you anymore to sin. You just sin and it doesn't affect you. But there's times in our lives where we're convicted. Your spirit is the key, your own spirit. That's why I have to keep our spirits clean, because our spirits are sensitive, should be sensitive. We should be sensitive to the Lord and know when we're wrong to do right. And so it talks about in there that in the last days, people's hearts will be hard and they'll be seared. Like if you have a seared conscience, one guy explained it this way. When you like drinking like hot coffee or something and you start to get used to it, at first you're so sensitive in your lips and your throat and you're drinking that. And the more you drink it, the more you don't have any more feeling like you had before. So you keep doing it and doing it, then you could drink hotter the coffee or the drink that you have. So that happens in the lives of people's hearts. They don't have the same feeling when they sin. When they do wrong, their conscience is seared. They call it a seared conscience, which is you're not sensitive. You get insensitive to the things of the Spirit. The more you do something, I don't know about you, I've seen this in my own family and with my own kids. And I've seen it with myself until I started catching myself. And that is, you know, when you're a kid, if you did something wrong, if somebody said, "Did you do that?" you start crying. And you're sensitive. But as you get older, you become professional and you start lying, you know, you begin to lie more, and it becomes easier to lie the next time. And so it's easy to say, "I didn't do that," or "It's okay." So when you're doing something wrong, the more you do it, the less sensitive you become to the fact that something is wrong in your life. So that's what he's talking about in that. So when the devil gets on people, I was reading a story about some stories about. Back over there when Brother Hagin said, when I think with his third vision with the Lord, and he said this person that was a minister who the devil talked to that woman and said, you're missing out on life. You could have had such a wonderful life. Instead, you're a pastor's wife. You're a good singer. You could have made it big." And she kept rebuking it, but it kept coming back, and the more she entertained it, suddenly she's left her husband, you know, the story goes, and he got away from that, and she had four or five husbands, six husbands. And Brother Hagin said the Lord showed him in the scripture, or at least in the vision, and showed scripture on it, that Jesus said, I'm going to show you how the devil gets a hold of people, because once they start saying no, it becomes normal after to say no and to sin. And so as that spirit came upon her, she said, she entertained it. Okay, that's okay. And kept going on in the same direction. So she saw the whole scene was, she saw the whole process, and she said, the heck with Jesus. I don't want Jesus anymore. And so she went her own direction. Then he saw that spirit from his head, who was sitting on his shoulder, on his head, go down to his spirit and possess that person. Then he saw in that vision that lady finally dying and going and screaming in hell. And the Lord said, or at least in this vision that he had, the Lord took him to heaven, showed him heaven. Then he said, now we're going to go, I'll show you hell. So he went to hell, and he saw the lady going down there. And he said, it's a horrible place. He said, this is the place I was going to when I was dying the first time when I was 17 years old. And now he's 30. He said, I was going there when I was that age. And so it's, you know, you see that thing over and over and over, where when we begin to do things, it kind of it affects us to a small degree. Then we keep doing something, then it becomes normal, right? Normalized. So thank God for His Holy Spirit that can help us to say no with seducing spirits. So verse 2 says, speaking lies, hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what he's talking about there. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This is 1 Timothy 4, 1-3. Let's look at that from the Common English Bible. The Spirit clearly says that in the last days, many people will turn from their faith. They'll be fooled by evil spirits and teachings that come from demons. They will also be fooled by false claims of liars whose conscience have lost all feeling. These liars will forbid people to marry or to eat certain foods, but God created these foods to be eaten with thankfulness from the heart by His followers who know the truth. So we see deception is something running rampant right now, and so I think we need to all be aware that, you know, you can get deceived if we're not using the scripture and following our hearts instead of our heads. Remember the scripture said, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because sometimes our understanding is more influenced by maybe culture of the world or philosophies of the world or something like that. It's not in scripture. So let's be careful in terms of making sure we're staying in line. And when we get off, we pull ourselves back in, because any one of us can get off and we're going in a certain direction. You have to check your heart. So we need to let the Holy Spirit move in our lives so that we can have this protection. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-3, King James says, notice that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Let's read it in the same version that we just read earlier. The Common English Bible says this. It says, my dear friends, this is a second letter I have written to encourage you to do some honest thinking. I don't want you to forget what the prophet said and what happened. You must never forget that the holy prophets taught in the past, and you must remember what the apostles told you of our Lord and Savior, and that's commanded us to do. Verse 3. But you must realize that in the last days, some people won't think about anything except their own selfish desires. They will make fun of you and say, "You didn't the Lord promise you that you come back to come back, and yet the first leaders have already died and the world hasn't changed a bit." They say that because they want to forget what that long ago the heavens and the earth were made of at God's command. The earth came out of the water, was made from water. Later it was destroyed by waters of a mighty flood. This is the Common English Bible, up to verse 6. It is interesting to see. I mean, you could read this and pick up different things in there that you want to study. It says in here that selfishness is probably head up there. With everybody wants their way, right? Everybody wants my way. I remember hearing a story of a church who were fighting. There was some infighting going on inside the church with leadership, and people were wanting to do different things, and people started fighting inside the church. And so by the time everybody got their way, and all their say, "I'm going to have my say-so, I want to have my say-so." And so when everybody had their say-so, it was totally destroyed, because everybody wants their version of truth or whatever. And so it destroyed that ministry and that church, because it was bare down to nothing. And I don't know, it says in the scripture, sometimes we have to yield to each other. Sometimes, even though we don't like it, in certain times we must adhere to it. If we keep fighting, then we'll get into more trouble. So make sure that we're not going to be getting to the point where we're just absolutely going to destroy one another. So actually, what I'm trying to say here from this scripture is that selfishness is huge in these last days. We all want our own way. And that's not the spirit of Jesus, right? Not the spirit of the Lord, where we want things our way. In our home, whatever it's in our own home or in relationships. If you're married, you have a wife, you can't always have it your way. And so there's those kind of things that we have to look at. So it says, they will make fun of you. I don't know, they'll belittle what you believe. That happens in these last days. People just laugh at what you believe. Oh, you believe in that? And I remember years ago, it kind of hurt my feelings, and I started going to try to quit drinking. Of course, I was not I believed I was always somewhat a Christian of some sort, but I started going to AA, and all my old buddies started making fun of me, and I was kind of like hurt, because I thought they'd enjoy, help me out a little bit, because I'm trying to stay sober. And so they started teasing me. I'm carrying my big book, I used to carry my big book. Oh, you're going there again, And so, but in the same way, I think people, with this spirit that's working now, they'll belittle what you believe. And you have to be conscious of the fact and not fight with people. Just say, hey, that's what I'm doing this for now. This has kept me sober. This kept me off the street, and this kept my family. And it's tough. I've seen people who are helpers today, that in the helping profession, they have no answers. And they seem to go, they're going through crisis themselves, because they have intellectual knowledge, educational knowledge, and they have certain things in their lives that are strong, but they've lost, they've never had the spiritual part. And right now, we need spirituality more than ever. And I've had different ones ask me about different things. People call regularly. I mean, I could be on the phone night and day just talking to folks, because they want to talk. People want answers. I mean, we just need to listen to people, right? Take time to listen to somebody. Because people need to get that out of their system and talk to someone. They need to know that somebody's listening to them. So there's a bunch of stuff that's going on in the world that's affecting them, their bodies. There's some people that are affecting them so much, their bodies are being affected. They're feeling sick because of all the turmoil. So we need to, no matter what the opposition is, we need to stay on track. In our own beliefs, in the scriptures. We can't change our lifestyle because someone is belittling you, you must stay on track with what you believe in Scripture. Here's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turn to fables. Well, we shouldn't be listening to fables. I don't know what you can compare fables to something that's not, you know, their stories might be good in some way, but we can't live on just stories. We need to live on the Scripture. That's the Word of God. And, you know, good stories is fine, and testimonies are great. I think sometimes people want to have testimony services over the years, you know. And, well, you can't live on testimony services or what somebody else, they got healed. You got to know for yourself. Go to the Word. So the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So some folks, the Scripture says here, they won't endure sound doctrine. They won't follow the Scriptures. They won't go to the balance in the Scriptures. They'll notice this, but after their own lusts. So it goes back to selfishness. They shall heap up this enough teachers having their itching ears. So they want the people to teach what they want them to hear or what they want to hear. Teach me what I want to hear. Agree with me. So, you know, that's going on pretty good. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So we need the Holy Spirit more than ever in our lives. How many people can agree with that for sure? We need to know for ourselves, okay, I mean, it's okay to talk to a friend. I'm not saying don't talk to a friend. That's good to be able to. Maybe you need a listening ear sometimes. You got to dump on people. And I know my wife and I, we, you know, get mad at the different things, and we just tell each other. And so that's where it goes. You have to air it out. Have a buddy that can talk to you. Or even just to straighten you out when you need. I know my wife straightens me out. And I would do a lot of things, probably, that I shouldn't if I didn't have somebody who would stand with me. So we need one another. And that's why we have parents and people that are over us to tell us, hey, come on back. Where are you? Here's another scripture, 2 Peter 3, 4. Know this, that first of all, there shall come in the last days scoffers. Everybody say scoffers. Walking in their own lusts. Here you see that word again. You know, we have trouble with the flesh. You know, that's your body. It has appetites and wants to do what it wants to do. You know, you can let it lead you down the road, but we're not supposed to be led by our flesh, our bodies. Because your body has its own desires, right? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were in the beginning of creation. For this they willingly ignorant of that, by the word of God, the heavens were old and the earth standing out of water and in water. Most importantly, I want to remind you, here's what we read this earlier, 2 Peter 3:3-7. Let's go to the New Living. Says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to that promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out of the water and surrounded it with water, and he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment, for when the ungodly people will be destroyed. So it says, you know, just from that point there, this is the point that I want to see is that people have given up on the fact that Jesus is coming back. So when you say Jesus is not coming back, or you don't believe he's going to come back really soon, so you kind of loosen your morals. And you say, all right, you know, I'll repent just before he comes. You know, I'll just finish this case of beer here and this carton of cigarettes and the butts and the rest. You know, cheap gas, whatever, Anyway, sometimes we do things like that. We just want to, sin as much as we can, or we'll straddle the line and we say, okay, you know, Jesus is not coming back anyway. He hasn't come back for a long time. He's probably not going to come back. So that's going on inside the church. That's not outside the church. So if we believe, and here's what the Bible teaches, that we should believe that he's going to come back anytime. Also that he's not going to come for a long time, but we should do things until he comes back. So those two things. That he's going to come any, he could show up any time, and we got to live right. Or the fact that he's coming a long, long time, so we got a lot of work to do so that we can save people. And so what happens? We start to scoff. That's not going to happen. So that spirit or that attitude is happening inside the church. We say, oh yeah. You know, I'm not gonna, I'll just do this until I can repent later. I know people say, well, I know this is wrong, but you know, God can blink an eye and turn his back for a while. So maybe that's the spirit that's in the world, I'm saying, inside the church. So we need to anticipate in terms of that. How do we fix that? We have to anticipate that Jesus is coming, and that he wants me to work until he comes back, serve him, and do whatever I can. And so, not to get in each other's business. Sometimes we're good at that, right? We need to anticipate Jesus is coming. So here's Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Talking to a young man, there no one. So everybody has to know that Jesus is coming. He's going to show up at some point. And so that's how we have to live, like this is our hope, that he is coming soon. And we need to live like he is coming anytime. Here's what John says. 1 John 2:18, the King James Version says, little children, it is the last time, or these are the last days, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. So, what is he saying? Well, there's many antichrists. People that are against God, against Jesus, against the very scriptures that they do purposely. They don't believe in Jesus, so they just do exactly what the Bible says not to do. There are many antichrists in the world. That's why people say, well, you know, maybe Gorbachev, he was an antichrist. So everybody had their own version of who was antichrist. But the spirit of antichrist is here right now. But the antichrist will appear at some point. But we know that the spirit of antichrist is working right now. That's what he says. As we are in the last days now, and the spirit of antichrist is in this world now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, King James says, who is a liar but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. So you know for sure to know that if anybody just denies that Jesus is not the Christ, he's not the Savior of the world, you know that this guy, run from him. run as fast as you can. No. At least, you know, don't try to talk to him. Talk about it. You're talking to Antichrist, driving your car. We'll go for coffee. I'll talk to you a little bit. Okay, here. So, 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. 2 John 1, 7. Who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. They don't believe that Jesus has come, you know, into the world. They don't believe that. You know, they say, oh, yeah, Jesus, I believe that. You know, some people talk, they say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, he did exist. He was here. He's a good man. But they don't believe that he's God manifested in flesh. And we need to believe that Jesus is, you know. So the word of the Lord, you know, these scriptures are just showing you different scriptures. We could expound some more, but Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever your word is settled in heaven." So we have to maintain to stay with the word, the truth of the word, and recognize from these scriptures what's happening around us right now, and look at the turmoil that's going on. Let's read the Message Bible and of Romans 12. There's stuff that's going on in the world that, you know, great upheaval. Here's what I said a number of months ago. And here's what I said last year and the year before. If you go back to the tapes, I'll show you something. I said to you, and you can say, you can. I had no idea. I said, the days are going to get darker. And there's going to be more and more trouble than you can probably ever handle. That's in the Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll see this. The days will get tougher and tougher to the point that you will let go of your own faith. So now is the time to get into your Bibles and start reading the scriptures and stay with the Bible, stay with the Word, stay with the people who follow Jesus, and live repentantly. Continue to repent, continue to say, God, you know, whatever it is you're having trouble with, you know, let it go. Because it's going to be tough. It's going to, you know, before Jesus comes, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on that you'll never, ever dream it's going to ever happen. And you think this stuff that we've seen just recently, the last couple months, is bad? It's going to get worse. The world itself is going to get worse. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That we have some, you know, Jesus wants us to preach the gospel and get people saved. And there's going to be people in your own life right now that know you. And they're going to come to you. And they've been watching you for a long, long time. They're going to ask you about Jesus. They're going to ask you about the scriptures. And then in the next while. There are people that are in different professions, different areas of work. They don't have answers. They don't have the power. They don't have the strength. And they're being crushed on the inside because there's so much weight on them. People looking to them, and they don't have no answers. But we need to stand spiritually strong on the inside of us. You know, just when you think, oh, everything's loosened, everything's great. You know, you got to take time. So just listen to that. And I know that here's another thing that's going to happen in the church, that you'll see more power in the church than ever before. They're going to be a brighter, more powerful things happening in the church, that to the point that people will be afraid of what's happening in the church. Like, there's going to be things that's going on, like miraculous things. And I was listening to prophecy that I was actually in that meeting with Brother Hagin. He talked about I saw him go into a trance, and he began to speak the word of God. And I saw him do that a number of times. He said the Lord told him to pray in front of the people, so that they'll see how to pray. And of course, when you study history of the church, you'll see this over and over again, that God will move out from His people. We're you know, out of our innermost being, every one of us is living waters. The power of God is in you. And you might not feel like it. You might not think it. You might say, I don't deserve it. No, it's in you. Every one of you, you come to Jesus, God's inside you. Right. Yeah, we might have problem with our flesh and our mind, but you're born again. And you might go off track. You might say different things sometimes, but that's your flesh doing that. And that's why it's so good to understand about the spirit, soul, and body. When we understand spirit, soul, and body, we can pull ourselves, recover ourselves much more quicker, because we know our flesh is acting on the way our mind is doing something. That's why the Bible tells us to do something with our bodies, which has all these desires and appetites apart from the born-again nature that we have, and our minds, which is kind of like wired up with the world, we've got to get that renewed and stay within the scripture. And so there's fear everywhere right now in this time. What's going to happen next, people are saying? First, let's go to read Romans 12, 1 and 2. So we'll look at some of these scriptures and give you some pointers later on. We want to spend some time looking at the last days in terms of what's going on. So here's what I want you to do. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Message Bible says this. Here's what I want you to do. God is helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So that's what God wants us to do. Say, Lord, here's what I want to do. Here's my life. I want you to work through me in my life where I am right now. God's going to use you where you are right now. Everybody has their own influence, your circle of friends that God will use you for. And, you know, it's amazing how God will use us. We don't think so, but people that are watching you, you know. So it says here, place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Really recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, you always dragging you down to His level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-informed maturity in you. So, what is He saying? Don't become adjusted to the world around you. Learn to adjust to God and what He wants you to do. So, I want to encourage you with those scriptures to know, at least the point is this morning is this. The scripture is telling us different things. We could look at different scripture, but we're not doing that this morning. We're just giving you scriptures about what God's saying in the last days. These things are going on. This is what's happening. Read the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. Look at your own heart. We can only look at our own hearts. We can't read each other's hearts unless God gives you that ability into what is called, discerning of spirit. We don't have that gift. If God gives you, fine. You could be with somebody, and God can give you an insight into somebody's spirit and know what that person, his intentions are for that time. But that's rarely ever happens to people unless, you know, it's going to affect a whole lot of people. So be informed, recognize the Antichrist is working right now. That's for sure. He's in the world right now. The spirit of Antichrist is working right now in the world. And it wants to get into the fabric of our society. And we need to pray as believers for people that are taking over us. And I was just reminded the other day of somebody there. And I get up whenever I go to prayer in the morning. I'll take, you know, at least try to take an hour, and I pray. And I learned this, that, you know, pray for our government, our leadership, pray for our prime minister, pray for our premiers, pray for our mayor, pray for the police, pray for the schools, the leaders in the schools, pray for our First Nations leaders across Canada. In fact, I call a couple of our local leaders here and say, I want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I want the best for our communities. I want the best for what's happening. And, you know, we stopped the other day and talked to a police officer. I let that police officer know that we're praying for them. It's good to do that once in a while. If you see a police officer, hey, you know what? Thank you for protecting our city. And we've been praying for several years and particularly these last few months, we're asking God, please help the drug problem in our city. Help find and close down some of these houses and get a hold of these people bringing in this drug. And they're catching lots of folks. People you and I know that are going to jail because they're selling out of their house or something. We all know people like that. So our own relatives, our own families. So we need to pray for it. This is a time when we need to pray for those people to be free. And we go down the street over here, on just on the where all the hangouts are. I know where all the drug places are. I've been in drug houses over the last few years. Inside them. Pastor's in the drug house. What are you doing? And I find some of my students in there. They say, Pastor Roman, what are you doing here? I said, I'm looking for you. But they know who I am. And I prayed for them. I just laid hands on some people on the street right on downtown and pray for them. They say, hey, Roma, come over here. Can you pray for us? Oh, yeah. So we pray for them. I mean, you know, I never thought twice about COVID-19. I just kind of just went right ahead. I mean, not that I was trying to break rules. I forgot. And I prayed for them. And just believed God. And so we need to do that. Pray for people. And we don't know what kind of stress leaders have, and we're not in their shoes, right? We'll pray for them and believe God for them. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to share the scriptures this morning on last days, and we know there's plenty to say on the last days, what to watch for. We know that you said in your word that we are in the last days, that the Spirit of God says that because of the light that's in us, we'll shine brighter as the day goes darker around us. Lord God, we want to thank you that you said you're going to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in these last days, you said. That many, many people will come to know Jesus in these last days. Many people will turn to Jesus. Many people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you said in the last days, there'll be such power manifested inside the church among the people. Such power that people are going to wonder what's happening. So we want to thank you. We invite the Holy Spirit to come help us to navigate in these times. We just want to thank you, Lord God. You said that you would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us in these last days. We pray we've been praying over these areas, and so we continue to use our faith to believe that your will be manifested across Canada and all our leadership across Canada. We pray and we repent from our own ways, from the ways that we were acting. Maybe we reacted in wrong ways, acted like the world does, acted out of our feelings. And so we're asking you this morning as your church, as your people, as individuals and collectively, forgive us for acting and emulating the ways that are not according to your word, but according to our flesh. And so we ask your forgiveness and wash us, cleanse us with that. And we pray by your Spirit that you would show us and continue to guide us as we move along in this last time. We pray that each one here will be so strengthened on the inside through the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit to not be afraid, but to look up and to say, thank God, these are the last days. I'm living, I'm going to live strong, I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And I give you praise, and I'm going to pray and believe God for my brother and sister that's out there, and for my family that's out there that are not in the kingdom of God yet. And I'm believing God for them. We want to thank you for those that have asked us to respond, to come and help them, to preach the gospel, to bring the good news to their areas. We thank you for those people that are requesting prayer, and they're asking for spirituality. They're asking for the Spirit of God to come and for us to come and shine a light. And we thank you, Lord God, that we will do this with your help and with your access. And we thank you that we ask your protection upon all the people, the citizens of Thunder Bay, and all those viewers that are watching. We ask that you protect them, cover them with your blood. Send forth your angels to help them find their way out, not just from the snow, but from all the junk that's happening, and to clear out their mind and to show the good deeds of God. We thank you, Lord God. And everyone that hasn't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we pray in the name of Jesus that they respond to John 3:16 and said, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe I receive him right now, that he is Lord and Savior. He is my Lord and Savior. I confess him with my mouth, and because I believe that in my heart, that Jesus is the Son of God, I give you praise. And those that have been away from God, that's walking on their own, I pray that they would say, Jesus, I'm coming home. Forgive me for sinning. And no matter how weak you might feel this morning, you turn to God and he'll help you. He will strengthen you. We pray for all our friends and family who's lost loved ones in the last little while. They've been discouraged and they've fallen weak, and the devil is trying to take advantage of them. And so we pray over them. We pray that you would strengthen each one of those individuals, our family, friends that have lost loved ones that have been sick, and those that are sick even now that are struggling with sickness are some of our family members from this church that are at home, and they've caught COVID, and they've been sick, and they've been away from church because they've been sick. And those that are at home that are afraid to come out, we pray that they will not be afraid, and they'll know exactly what to do, and they'll follow their spirit, and they'll follow their heart, and do what they have to do. We thank you to run their race. We thank you for that, Lord God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.